A truth. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Good morning. Thank you, amazing grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for everyone gathered here. We know we are each here by a divine appointment today, Father God, and we are here for what you have for us today through your word. And we just ask that you bless those who couldn't be here today, bless those who are struggling with their health, Lord, and bless those who are struggling with their faith. And may we always remember that only God can truly judge us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. And that's the sermon title today, amen? Only God can judge me. And I won't be playing any Tupac songs today, so just so you know, okay? All right? Thought about it, but no. Just kidding. There was a story of a music director who was so stressed out because at least one or more of the members of the band were absent for every rehearsal that they were having for this concert. And it finally came down to the last rehearsal, and he announced, "I want to personally thank the drummer for being the only person in the worship team to attend each and every rehearsal during the past 2 months." Amen? That's how us drummers are, okay? At this, the drummer rose up and he bowed and he said, "It was the least I could do considering that I won't be able to play at the concert." Right? Man. Right? That sounds like a drummer right there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that we're in, it tells us that faithfulness, amen, is required in our service to God. Amen. Amen? Just like the faithfulness of that drummer, right? No, but better than that. But someone has said that true faith shows up in faithfulness, right? Our true faith, our true selves show up in faithfulness. Not everybody can sing, not everybody can preach, not everybody can even play the drums, but there's one thing we can all do, amen? We can all be faithful, right? We can all be faithful. We can all make that decision to be faithful, okay? And another observed that the world crowns success, but God crowns faithfulness, amen? And that is why we say only God can judge us, okay? So remember last week, Paul, he had finished the chapter saying to the Corinthians, "No more boasting about your favorite human leaders," all right? "That all things are yours in life or death because you are of Christ and Christ is of God." Amen? It's not about our leaders here. It's about our leader in heaven. Amen? First verse, Paul says, "This then is how you ought to regard us," he tells the Corinthians, "as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries that God has revealed." Paul was saying, don't worship us. We're just humans, just like you. Don't worship us. Just like you, we are also entrusted with the mysteries of God. Or in the original translation, he says, the stewards of the mysteries of God. Amen? The stewards. And I'm going to explain that to you. The word steward means somebody who's been entrusted to something or with something of value that belongs to their master, right? Or it belongs to someone else. Amen? The owner, the master. And this is to say, as children of God, amen? He's our master, right? As children of God, he has given us, okay? He has entrusted us with gifts, talents, abilities, and knowledge. Amen? He's entrusted us with that. And these things that God has given us, they don't really belong to us. Amen? God has given them to us, but they belong to him. They belong to the master. Amen? They belong to him. And another thing about stewards is they're always being checked upon to see how they're doing. Amen? They're always checking on them to see how they're taking care of the things that they have given them, right? And that's what he's going to speak of next. In verse 2, he says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove themselves faithful." Right? They must prove faithful. Why do you think that they must be proven faithful? Why would you say they must be proven faithful? Huh? Yeah, but they're being trusted with someone else's stuff, right? Right? So, of course, you know, they got to be proven that they can do it, that they can trust them to take care of their stuff, right? And if that's the case, then we must be proven faithful in God's eyes. Amen? And the steward must always answer to the master, right? We must always answer to our master. And so as believers, we are all stewards, okay, of God's riches, okay? We should all be stewards of God's riches. You see, when we live in faith, we live in the truth, right? We live in the truth. And the truth is that everything belongs to God, okay? Everything belongs to God. In fact, and I'm going to get into a little bit about giving here for a minute, okay? Only because the scripture calls for it, okay? In fact, that includes all of our income. Amen? That's what giving is about, right? About what God has blessed us with, okay? All of our income, even our tax returns. Amen? You know, the world has a saying that says there are only two things certain in life, death and taxes. Amen? But guess what? God has conquered them both, right? God has conquered it all. Amen? He has conquered them both. And in order to truly follow Him, we must obey Him. Right? We must obey Him. And, you know, part of that obedience is faithful giving to support your church. Whatever church you're a part of, amen? We should all have a home church and we should be supporting them, amen? The Bible calls it a tithe or 10% is what we call it, right? And if you want to truly live in God's will and enjoy that full relationship with Him that has no guilt and live in the truth, amen? Then you got to support, you should be supporting your church, amen? And I'll tell you why. The Bible calls it 10%, right? But if you truly live in God's will, you should be given to your church because that's the only way that the church can pay the bills. Amen? The church doesn't get assistance from the government or money doesn't fall out of the sky. Amen? God doesn't need your money. Amen? But your church needs your help, right? Your church needs your help. And it's just a reminder for us. Amen? We are the body, okay? And God is the head. He's the head, okay? And this is His house, right? And thank God that He allows us to gather here, that we can come here for, if anything, for our relationship with Him and the salvation, amen? But to gather together as the body. Don't look at it as losing 10%. Look at it as investing 10%, okay? Because that's what it is. You're not only in the kingdom. You're not only investing in the kingdom, but you're investing in your faith, right? It's an investment in your faith. You're truly giving back what God has given you in the first place, right? And because all things are from Him, right? All things are from God, amen? Plus, He says, you know what? You keep 90%, right? You keep 90%. And people say, well, I got the job, right? God didn't give me the job. I got the job. God gave you the means and the ways and the knowledge and the strength to get that job, right? You couldn't have done that with well. God gave you everything. God gave you life. Amen? God gave you everything. So everything comes from God, okay? And remember, only God can judge you about that, okay? About giving, don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Only worry about one critic. Amen? But I digress, okay? Here we go. Let's get back to the scripture here. We've been bought with a price, okay? And that price is the blood of Jesus, amen? The blood of Jesus. And everything that we have belongs to God. And all we have, our gifts and all of our talents, everything, amen? And remember, we will be judged. And hopefully, we'll hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? That's what we want to hear. That should be our main goal in life. Amen? You see, Paul was standing in judgment before these Corinthians, but Paul was saying, don't judge me. Only God can judge me. Don't judge me. Amen? Verse 3, he goes on, he says, I care very little, here he goes, if I am judged by you or any other human court. Indeed, I don't even judge myself, he says. Right? Paul didn't care about being judged by the world, and neither should we. Amen? We shouldn't care about that. When it comes to your faith, don't worry what the world thinks. In fact, it could actually be a character defect that we like to call in recovery, amen, in your life, and we call it people-pleasing, right? People-pleasing. Worried about what everybody thinks all the time, amen? We shouldn't be worried about what God thinks, okay? Now, I know there's some of us who care what others think, right? There always is. And there's some people who don't care, Amen? Some people who don't care. Now, the ones who don't care and have a very strong faith in God, they're the ones that are fun to watch. Amen? Because they don't care what anybody thinks, right? I'm going to serve the Lord, and if you don't like it, well, that's too bad. Amen? Because they only worried about one critic, right? And they don't let anything get in the way of their mission for Christ. Amen? And they can be some of the greatest servants and strongest warriors for God, right? Because they don't care what the world thinks. Amen? Paul would even go on to say that he doesn't even judge himself. Now, this is something that's unique and rare in a human being. Amen? To not judge yourself, okay? Because people, usually, those that don't care what others think, they still judge themselves. Amen? They're still judging themselves all the time. But you see, Paul was different. Amen? Paul was faithful. Paul was an apostle. And he was sent to lead others to Christ. Paul was sent to make disciples. Right? And he took that job very serious. Okay? He took it very serious. And so Paul, he didn't judge himself. And guess what? Because he didn't judge himself, it was well with his soul. Amen? He truly only cared about one critic, his God. Amen? Verse 4, he goes on, he says, but my conscience is clear, but it does not make me innocent. It's the Lord who judges me. He knew he wasn't innocent. As long as we're in this flesh, we'll never be innocent, completely innocent. Amen? Paul was humbly saying that even though the world couldn't judge him, he wasn't going to judge himself because only one person is competent enough to judge any of us, and that's God. Amen? That's God. That is the Lord. And he said, I'm only worried about one critic and one opinion when it comes to my ministry work. And that critic is God. He said, in a humble manner, he said, you Corinthians are not competent enough to judge me. Only God can judge me. Right? Now, why do you think that we as humans are so quick to judge other people? What do you think is the biggest reason why we're so quick to judge others? Anybody? Got a guess?
Insecurity.
Huh?
Insecurity.
Insecurity?
Don't like
huh?
Don't like
right? Don't like them? Okay.
Pride.
There you go. Pride, right? Pride covers it all. Amen? Pride, okay? You win the prize, Cheryl. Okay. Fleshly pride would have gave you the bonus, but you didn't say fleshly prize. But but pride always gets in the way of our walk with God. Amen? Pride will always get in the way of your walk with God. We will look at other people, even in the ministry, and judge them, right? I'm holier than thou. Right? That was for the kids, but we look at others, even in the ministry, amen, and we judge them because sometimes we think we're holier than thou. Amen? And you see, if we think that others are not competent enough to judge us, but we are to judge them, that means we're walking in pride. That means you're walking in pride, but in a sense, Paul was being humble. Amen? He said, I'm not even competent enough to judge myself. Right? And so that in itself proved that Paul truly believed that only God could judge him. Right? He truly believed it, and we should all. And so now we ask ourselves that if Paul had deemed himself incompetent to judge anybody, then what is this letter that he's sending to them, right? Isn't that a judgment as well? Doesn't it sound like judgment, right? Sounds like judgment to me, amen? But you see, Paul wasn't judging by his own competence, amen? Paul was judging them by the Word of God, amen? By the Word of God. So essentially, God was judging them. Paul was just a messenger. Amen? And the Word will always, God's Word will always be true and will always be competent. It never changes. Amen? It's never changed and it never will. Amen? So Paul would later say that we cannot go beyond what is written in God's Word, right? And that means, even Moses said in Deuteronomy, we cannot add or take away from God's Word. Amen? You shouldn't add or take away. Too bad a lot of religions in the world today don't heed that advice. Amen? Some of them even create their own Bible, right? Or take a lot of things out or add a lot of things to it. But God, He does want us to have discernment, okay? He does want us to have discernment in this life, whether it's kingdom business or dealing with the world. We have to have discernment. Amen? We must make the right decisions in our lives for us based on the truth of God's Word. Whether you're in church, at a concert, wherever you're at. Amen? Remember to make the right decisions based on the truth of God's Word. If we're going to try and set a precedent of faith for the world to follow, we cannot be hypocrites. Amen? We got to stick to God's Word. We got to follow it and stick to it. Amen? We can't, He doesn't want us lukewarm. We can't jump in and out. Amen? We need to stick to that. People are watching us. They want us to slip up. They want to talk about us. Amen? We need to give them something to look up to. Matthew 7 talks about this, verses 3 through 5. He says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when all the time you got this plank in your own eye? You hypocrite," he says, "first take the plank out of your own eye, then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Right? Let us judge by God's standards, okay? Not by ours. Amen? By God's standards, because we are all going to fall short. God knows He expects us to fall short. Amen? We are all going to fall short. We must live in repentance, though. Amen? We must live in the truth, and we must speak the truth in everything we do. Judge according to the Scriptures, okay? Because our standards in this flesh, they're never going to be enough. Okay? And He is worthy of it all. Amen? He is worthy of it all. God's Spirit must be behind every judgment we make or every discernment that we have, because our flesh will lead us to condemn others. Amen? And there should be no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, either giving it or receiving it. Amen? And so this letter, it's not a letter of condemnation. It's a letter of love and concern. Paul loved the church he started, and he's concerned about where they're at in their lives right now. Amen? And, you know, as leaders in the church and even as servants of God, we have to confront others, okay, when they're doing foolish and sinful things. Amen? It's not just the pastor's job, right? We can all confront others when we see them slipping into sin, especially if you see them doing it here at church. Amen? But anywhere you see it, amen? It's all of our jobs to confront that, amen? And it's not always easy, but it's an act of love. Do it in love. You have to do it in love, amen? It's not just the pastor's job, okay? Remember who we represent, okay? Remember whose house this is, right? Have reverence for God's house. This is His house, amen? We must show reverence by living in the truth, and by speaking the truth. Don't just be a Sunday Christian. Live that out every day of the week. Amen? Every day of the week. Godly discipline will always love first. Right? It's always, love has to be first. Amen? Because God is love. Amen? Jesus is love. Right? Verse 5, he goes on. He says, "Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and will expose the motives of the heart." I was telling the first service when I came to church this morning, when I was coming to work this morning. I'm coming down Camelback, and you know, and we talk about, you know, it's dark. The world's in dark. A lot of the world's in darkness right now. Amen. But I always say the light's getting lighter, right? And he said it was going to be 93 degrees today. We're going to set some records today. Amen? We're not proud of that, but, you know, maybe we are. I don't know. But anyways, the sun was blinding. I could barely see where I was going. And it made me think about that. You know, it made me think about this text, that the light truly is getting lighter. Amen? It truly is getting lighter. We cannot see, okay, what's in someone's heart. But guess what? God can. Amen? God can see what's in somebody's heart. Some of us think we can see what's in people's hearts. Amen? But that's just us judging upon the appearance of something. Right? You can't see in anyone's heart. Amen? Sometimes we judge based on what we see, but that is still in the darkness. Okay? We cannot see the heart, but guess who can? God can see the heart. Amen? God can see the heart. And it says that when the Lord comes, He's going to bring to light what is in the darkness, right? So we see people, you say, "Oh, why does that, they keep sinning and getting away with it?" No. Eventually, that darkness is going to come into the light. And they will be judged. Amen? Now, we all know that each of us, we should know, we sin every day. Amen? Amen? Either by thought or by action. We all sin every day. Amen? And God sees both. Okay? God sees both because God sees the heart. Amen? You can't hide from God. Okay? We cannot hide anything from God. So if you think you got a secret sin, guess what? God knows. Amen? Nobody else might know, but God knows. God sees everything. And if you don't know that, you need to reevaluate your relationship with God and with the church. Amen? Because God sees everything. Paul was saying that when the Lord returns, He's going to judge us all according to our hearts. But he would dismiss the judgment of these Corinthians. He says, you can't judge me. Only God can judge me. He goes on in verse 5, he says, at that time, each will receive their praise from God, right? When the Lord returns, amen? Paul knew that one day our praise would come from God as well, amen? Before the Bema seat of Christ, right? For believers, our day is coming, amen? And there will be no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, amen? And why? Because the price has already been paid at Calvary. The blood of Jesus is why we will not face condemnation, amen? He goes on in verse 6, he says, now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not be puffed up and believe in a follower of one of us over against the other. Don't worship us, he's saying, right? Don't worship us. He says, when and if you judge as well, do not go beyond what is written in God's word. Right? We should never go beyond what is written in God's word because that would be a personal judgment. When you're judging somebody outside of God's word, that's a personal judgment. And we will never be, the Bible says, competent enough to truly judge others. Unless we back it with the Word of God. Okay? If we back it with the Word of God, then that'll make any of us competent. Amen? Remember, we can't see the heart. Only God can see the heart of others. Amen? And therefore, only God can truly judge us. And if we do go beyond the Scriptures, then what? We end up like the Corinthians. Amen? We end up like them, puffed up, right? Whatever that means, I guess you stick your chest out, you're all puffed up, right? But what happens when you do that? We start to go against each other. Amen? We want to be better than the other person. It's like a competition. Amen? He goes on, verse 7, he says, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not? Right? The point to all three of those questions is something that we preach and teach here all the time. Everything we have is from God. Everything we have is from God. Every fruit, every gift, every miracle, every blessing, they have been given to us and entrusted to us by God. Even if you were born with it, guess what? It's a gift from God, right? Because He created you. Everything is a gift from God. Verse 8, he goes on, he says, already you have what you want. Already you have become rich. He's talking to Corinthians, amen? You have begun to reign, and that without us, apostles. How I wish that you had really begun to reign so that we also might reign with you. I think Paul's using some sarcasm here, right? He's being a little sarcastic, right? Paul is saying that he's trying to expose their pridefulness, amen? He's telling them that they're prideful at this point, right? The Corinthians thought they were all high and mighty, amen? They were high and mighty. They were above everybody spiritually, even the apostles, amen? In fact, they even questioned Paul as being an apostle. They questioned his teaching, and they questioned his authority. And that's another reason that Paul is writing this letter to them, amen? The Corinthians had it all under control, but at some point along the line, and we'll get to that at some point here, Paul was going to reach them. Amen? He's going to reach them, and he's going to teach them, and they're going to undergo this very difficult process of repentance. They're going to have to repent of all they're doing, and they're going to reconcile with Paul. Amen? And the church is going to be made whole again in Corinth. Amen? But at this point, they just weren't ready. Only God knows, okay, when somebody is truly ready to receive His Word and give their lives to Christ. Only God knows. Amen? We can be a witness all day long, but only God knows the day and the time they're going to say yes. Amen? But we still got a job to do, right? And in verse 9, Paul's going to vent again, you know, with some more sarcasm. He says, "For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena." The first part of verse 9, this procession he's talking about, this is referring to in those times when a general would go and conquer another area, another land, another city. And they would bring conquer the people, and they would tie up all the men, and they would drag them behind a procession going back home. Amen? And the procession would start, okay, with the triumphant soldiers entering the city. Amen? And the crowd would be cheering, and, you know, they won, right? They won the battle. And then at the end of that procession, though, would be the prisoners tied up, right? The prisoners, and they would be blindfolded and ready to die because they got conquered. Amen? They would be ready to die because when they entered that town arena, everyone would be celebrating, but eventually they would kill the enemy. That's what would happen. Amen? So that's the president, the procession that Paul's talking about. Amen? He's saying that the apostles feel like the guys tied up in the back. Amen? Paul was comparing them to those at the end of the procession, the men that would be paraded, mocked, and killed, and many for their faith in the Lord. Paul knew all about persecution. Amen? He knew more about it than anybody. Well, almost anybody. Amen? He continues in verse 9, he says, "We have been made a spectacle also to the whole universe, to angels as well as human beings." He's not just speaking symbolically, amen? He's speaking of real world experience. And Paul had a lot of that, right? Real world experience and how the leadership in the church in Corinth was out of control. Amen? It was out of control in their part of the world, and Paul was trying to keep it real with them. He's trying to tell them, warn them. Amen? He goes on, verse 10, he says, "We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ," he's telling the Corinthians. Amen? "We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, but we are dishonored." He's trying to make a point here. Amen? He'd go on to say, "To this very hour, we go hungry as apostles and thirsty. We're in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly." Sounds like Jesus, right? "When we have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment." Right? Paul's reminding them, yes, there is a day coming when we'll all be ruling and reigning with our Lord. But right now, all of us, including you Corinthians, we should be living, we are living out His humiliation, Jesus' humiliation. Amen? Before the Lord died for us, He was humiliated. Amen? We know that, right? And so shall we be. We're going to be like the Lord. We're going to be like the Lord. Amen? If we follow Jesus, we'll be humiliated. If we follow Jesus, we too will die to this world. Amen? At some point, we should be dying to this world. And if we follow Jesus, we too, here's a good part, will receive a resurrection like His and eternal life. Amen? And eternal life. You see, the world is going to tell you that you're dumb to believe in something you can't see. Amen? And the world is going to tell you that you're foolish to live a life that's pleasing to a God that you can't touch. Amen? And the world is going to tell you, this is the worst one, that you're an idiot, okay, to worship a God from a book that's full of fairy tales. Right? That's what the world wants to tell us. right? Billy Graham said, it is Satan's purpose to steal the seed of truth from your heart by sending distracting thoughts. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is though they both may have good and evil thoughts, Christ gives his followers the strength to select the right rather than the wrong. Right? We're all sinners, but Christ gives us the strength to make the right decisions in our lives. So always, always select the truth of God's word over this world. No matter how the devil tempts you, amen? Always select the truth of God's word over this world. And never let their judgment deter you from your mission for Christ. Amen? We need to be the salt and the light of this earth. Remembering in the end, amen? Who cares what they say? Only God can judge us. Let's give God a hand. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the strength, the wisdom, the peace, the hope, and the joy you give us in this life. We thank you for the promise, Lord, that you have gone to prepare a place for us. And we thank you for using us, Lord, on this earth to be a witness for your name and for your promise. Father, we ask that you bless all those who couldn't be here today, all those who are struggling with their faith, with their health, and with their relationship with you. Father, may you give us all a peace that goes beyond the understanding of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.